how to stop any people-pleasing tendencies, or as I call it, emotional prostitution, and how to communicate in a way as to actually achieve what you want. On today's episode of the Conscious Success Community, we're exploring just that. I'm your host, Madhu, and what we're really talking about here is how to stop performing and actually start living, how to use the ability of speech, your words, in such a way as to achieve what you want without having to take the long route or hurt anyone in the making. As always, if you like content like this, just join our free Conscious Success Community in the show notes, where you can connect with many, many others just like you, where we dive into topics like this on a daily basis. Check this out. So the first step in exploring this concept is understanding what we actually want as opposed to what we don't want. So if we think, I don't want to be a people pleaser, or I don't want to communicate in direct ways, or whatever the case might be, let's identify what we do want to achieve. And for a axiom, or let's say as an ideal standard, I'm going to offer you something that's in the ancient Vedic literatures, one called the Bhagavad Gita. If you're not familiar with it, go get familiar with it, go buy it, specifically the Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is the most popularly used one around the world. It's just the most authentic and legitimate one, where it gives you the original Sanskrit, as well as the transliteration and a word for word translation, as well as explanation of why it was translated that way. It's a multi-thousand-year-old literature teaching everything about the self, nature, purpose, dharma, divinity, and all the other important things that you could possibly come up with your beautiful brain. And it talks about them in a very practical way. And really, it provides the essence of a lot of what we talk about here. And there's one particular verse that I want to share with you that I think you'll agree with me is a beautiful type of ideal style of communication. So we can, again, figure out what we do want. And then we're going to talk about very practical tips and tools for how we can speak in a way where we can still get what we want, get our point across, but that doesn't actually cause harm to others. Ah, what do you mean cause harm with my words? Let's talk about that. So let's give you the verse first. I'm going to share it in Sanskrit itself. Don't worry if you don't know Sanskrit. I won't be testing you on it, but it's so beautiful, such a beautiful language that I can't help but share it with you. The verse itself is in the 17th chapter, verse 15 of the Bhagavad Gita. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam hitam chayat svadhyayabhyasanam chaiva vanmayan tapa uchite. And what it means in English is austerity of speech. In other words, the way in which one uses their ability to speak and control their mind and control their words in such a way as to actually move in a direction of happiness, fulfillment, contentment. So austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are, number one, truthful, number two, pleasing, number three, beneficial, number four, non-agitating to others, and number five, regularly reciting the Vedic literatures like the Bhagavad Gita itself. In other words, for a lawyer, the lawyer always wants to go back to the law texts. For a doctor, the doctor always wants to go back to the educational books that teach anatomy, physiology, etc. So for spiritualists, we want to always go back to these books that teach spirituality in a very understandable, digestible, and practical way. So let's talk about these five elements and really how do we start to live our life in such a way where everything we say is truthful, pleasing, beneficial, non-agitating to others, and aligned with our ideals, which is really what we're talking about with Svadhyaya, or study the ancient Vedic literatures. Means it's in alignment with our value system, which if you're anything like me, you don't just figure it out yourself. You take it from those great minds, those great sages of the past who did all the hard work, all the heavy lifting for us. So when we're talking about understanding a proper way to communicate as opposed to an improper way to communicate, and again, when I use this term, we say emotional prostitution, people pleasing is emotional prostitution. What you're trying to do is you're speaking in such ways to cause pleasure to the other person as opposed to serving them. It's really important we define terms here, because when we're talking in about a very pleasing manner, what we're really talking about here is in a way that is landing so that the person listening can actually hear it, as opposed to if it's, say, agitating, or if it's very disruptive to them in their nervous system, it's not going to land. They're not going to hear it. They're just going to get triggered. So how do we do the best work that we can to make sure it lands in a way that they'll go, oh, I get it. Yeah, I'm willing to listen to this. I can understand this, but where it's still truthful as well as beneficial, it's actually helpful for them to hear it. So we want to become service oriented. In Sanskrit, the term is seva. And what that really means is a service is how to actually act or speak in such a way as the people we're acting upon, the people we're speaking to, receive the knowledge or the information in a way that will, again, land, but be beneficial. So again, defining terms here, we want to be truthful, we want to be pleasing as opposed to agitating, and beneficial. So let's just use those three terms, which kind of consolidate this Bhagavad Gita verse and the points that we're making here. And again, we don't want to please in such a way as just saying the thing that's going to cause a type of pleasure unto the person, as a type of stimulating titillation to their senses and mind, as a type of false or superficial accolade. Rather, we're trying to serve them. We're trying to communicate in a way where it still lands well. It doesn't shut down their brain or their nervous system. And you're not in control of that, but we're going to do our best. And I'll show you a couple ways of how to do that. And ultimately speak in such a way that we can get our point across, help people, and frankly, not cause them harm. When I say cause harm, what a disservice we can do by, if somebody gives us their attention in the form of listening to us, but we speak in such a way as to actually not help them. What to speak of if they've asked you to help? If they put themselves in the situation where they say, hey, I'm looking for your help, support, guidance, but you just give them lip service. I mean, what a disservice to them. What a dissatisfying situation. So I want to serve people. I'm assuming you all listening are like me. You want to speak in a truthful and beneficial way, but that still lands. It's still pleasing enough, but it serves them. It doesn't just titillate their senses and give them a false sense of heightened happiness, but rather something that's actually transformative, something that actually benefits them. Let's talk about how. And I want to give you, say, three elements we're going to look at here. Number one is identity. What we're going to talk about here is how do I create or understand the person I want to be? And what that means is, what identity do I want to hold? Who do I actually want to be? Because here's the cool thing is your mind's going to believe whatever you give it anyway. Whatever identity that you impose upon yourself, your mind's going to start believing. That's why most of our identity from the age of 0 to 7, as we're building up our subconscious mind, is we're just sponging in what we're seeing and hearing. We're just becoming a conglomerate of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're speaking about, what our senses are gathering. And then from, say, about 7 to 25, give or take some years, depending on cognitive development, we're developing our conscious mind. We're taking that basis from the subconscious mind. We're starting to create an identity based off what we believe we are, and that usually comes from what other people tell us. You come out of the womb, and they slap a name tag on you, and they say, all right, your name is Schnicky, but you can't do anything about it. You can't even hold your head up. Your little baby head's bobbling all over the place. And then you grow up a little bit, and you're kind of cute, and they add another little name tag to the Rolodex of labels. They say you're kind of cute. It's cute Schnicky. And then it's kind of chubby. So it's chubby, cute Schnicky. And then as you grow up, you're kind of weird. You're weird, cute, chubby, Schnicky, etc. And in this way, you just gather a whole bunch of labels which create the identity you believe yourself to be. What I'm suggesting we have to do first and foremost in terms of changing any belief and any thought and any feeling, what to speak of our words and our speech, is starting to identify with who I want to identify with. What that means, who do I believe I am in an ultimate sense, aka eternal soul residing in a temporary body that has a mind that has a body? Who do I ultimately identify myself with, as well as in this life? What's my nature? What are my God-given gifts? How do I understand my psychophysical nature in such a way as to actually take what I've been given and give back with it? We need to identify, or let's say, assume the identity of the person we want to be / know we can be. Or another way to pose this is who our potential is. Because until we have a clear idea of who we want to be, it's going to be very difficult to speak like that person. So we're going to talk on identity. And then from there, we're going to talk about how do I practice getting what we might call truth reps in. In other words, every day, making sure we make it a point to say something that's very truthful, beneficial, and yet lands, aka pleasing or still of service to the person, and starting to make a practice of it. Because here's the thing is, almost all of us fall onto one of two spectrums, is that we could be too people pleasing or we could be too aggressive. Now, if you've done a lot of work in communication, fantastic. A lot of what we're sharing is still going to be helpful. But most of us are going to fall into one of those two sides of the spectrum. In other words, I don't say the thing on my mind enough, or I say the thing on my mind a little too much or a little too aggressively. So what we're trying to do is find that healthy balance in between the two of them, and how to get a daily rep in that's going to provide that. And then number three is a type of somatic check-in, is ultimately whether we're speaking more aggressively or more passively. What's happening is our nervous system is being affected in such a way that we either shut down and kind of fawn and get a little bit passive, and we don't say what's on our mind, or we get a little fluffy with our language and we don't actually say what we really want to say, or our nervous system gets a little overactivated and we say things, but in a very intense way. You can't hurt me. I'm protecting myself here. Don't you dare. And so how do we do what I call somatic check-in? So it's to feel like, really get into the feelings. What's causing me to step outside of that balance space to get more passive or to get more aggressive, and how to manage that in such a way as to really communicate in the way I want. So let's talk about identity first and foremost, because the identity is, oftentimes we give this analogy, the identity is like the seed that we're planting here. Think of that seed has unlimited potential. One seed has the potential to create so many huge types of trees, bushes, plants, and from those it'll create a fruit that will have additional seeds that can create more. So there's so much potential in the seed itself. And when we're talking about your identity, we're really talking about, like, what type of seed are you? Do you want to identify as a cacti seed? Do you want to identify as a redwood or anything in between? You get to choose who you are, because your brain is only finding evidence for what you believe you are anyway. And your beliefs only come from your identity. I believe that I am a XYZ. And therefore, if, you know, I believe that I suck at sports, therefore I am somebody who sucks at sports. And the concomitant beliefs will be based off of that. Therefore, I am not athletic. I am not, whatever the case might be. Your beliefs are directly correlated and connected with your identity. So what we're talking about here is, who do you actually want to identify as? And I want this to be from a very deep place, not like, oh, I'm just such a cool person. I'm the coolest person ever. Now, who do you understand yourself to actually be according to your God-given gifts and psychophysical nature? What are you meant to be doing on this world in the first place? You have to have a clear vision of that, beyond just the temporary, beyond just the physical body. I'm a Italian American in Laguna Beach, California, and I am this financial status, and I am this pretty or this ugly, or whatever it might be. All those things are external. I'm not suggesting you pretend they don't exist, but go deeper. Who do you want to identify as? And one of those attributes is somebody who speaks truthfully, beneficially, and simultaneously pleasing in a way that lands into the listener's ear. One little caveat with this is, when we're talking about your identity, I'm not talking about something artificial. I'm not talking about try to go deep and accept yourself, but then try to change who that is. I really mean understanding who you are in a deep capacity. And if you're like that, what are you talking about, Madhu? Just go into a room, lock the door, tell everyone, leave me be for 20 minutes. Just sit with yourself for a minute and ask yourself, like, what are my gifts? Write them down. Figure out, like, who really are you? And what are you meant to be doing on this world? That's what I'm talking about. Get a crystal clear idea of that first and foremost. If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy. And even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable, please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. Once you have a semi-clear, if not incredibly clear, version of who you want to identify as, who you really want to be, who the potential version of you is, what they look like, what they sound like, how they communicate, what they do in this world, then we can start to talk about the practice itself. In other words, how do I start to practice day in and day out doing truth reps? Now, what we're talking about with the truth rep again is, how do I want to track every time I communicate, or at least once a day, communicate in a way that where I got my point across, the thing I actually wanted to say, I got it across, but in a way that was real. I didn't fabricate it. I didn't lie. I didn't withhold information. Some people say, I didn't lie, I just didn't say it. No, where you're actually honest, you're getting the point across. But you're saying it in a way where, again, it's pleasing, it lands. The person who's listening goes, Yeah, I heard that. I can hear that. Wow, that's that makes sense to me. And it's also beneficial. We're actually, again, when it serves them, it actually provides them not just, oh, that felt good, but wow, this was good for me to hear. It is important for me to mention you can't control someone's feelings. So no matter how much you do everything we're talking about, still people will get triggered and let them feel however they're going to feel. We're just doing our job to keep our conscience clean, to keep ourselves in alignment and integrity with our values in such a way as to not lie to others or not to speak in a way that's too passive, too aggressive, that doesn't actually serve everyone. If let people react however they're going to react, if they still get upset, cool, that's not on you to begin with. But these practices themselves are going to help you figure out how to minimize or avoid the chances of others' negative reactions. And then if they still do, like I said, that's not up to you anyway. We're not trying to control emotions. We're just trying to do the best job we can, the most diligent job we can to serve people through our speech, through our communication. What that looks like is taking opportunities throughout the day and sitting there. In the beginning, it might mean writing it down to formulate. It's helpful to, once I know, okay, what type of person I am, what type of communicator am I? I'm the type of person who wants to communicate truthfully, beneficially, and still pleasing, and still in alignment with my values. You can even sit down and you can write it out. Like, what's the one thing I can say? Like, think of one person that you haven't said the full thing to, or that deserves to hear a more specific version of what you want to communicate to them. And write it down first and foremost. Hey, Billy Bob, the way you spoke to me, I felt upset because I really respect your opinion and I have a very deep sensitivity when people call me, when people say I have an ugly mustache. And therefore, in the future, my request is that you don't make negative comments about my mustache going forward. Is that fair? You write down what you want to say, and I'm going to give you a framework. I just shared it here, but I'm going to give you a nonviolent communication framework that helps with doing this here in a second. Write it down first and foremost. Then you could try it on for size and even practice it yourself in a mirror or whatever it needs to take. Write it down the way you want it conveyed and then practice with the proper tonality and then do it at least once a day. Go out of your way to present information that is truthful, beneficial, and actually pleasing. Nonviolent communication framework that works really well for this. And there's different versions of this, but it is just one that I found really helpful myself, and I hope you will as well. Is when you're bringing something up to someone else, which again, we're talking about communication, which means there's a listener. There's of course self-talk, and we can get more into that. I want you to apply everything I'm suggesting here still as the way you communicate to self. But ultimately, when we're talking about communicating to others, your speech, the things that come out of your mouth, one way is to bring up anything, that any requests that you have of someone else, is to put it into a framework that has, say, these four components. So number one is the when something happened. Hey, listen, hey, you know, when that thing happened over there, when you said that, when I you saw this, when you heard me say that, whatever it might be, when the time, the experience itself, bring that up first. Number two is the feelings related to it. Hey, you know, when you said you thought my mustache looked really stupid, I felt or I feel XYZ, whatever emotions are coming up for you. What this does is, again, it puts you into the driver's seat, takes responsibility for the emotion because no one can make you feel a certain way. You feel a certain way. People can talk about your weird looking mustache all day, but it doesn't actually have to affect you. You're not a victim. You're never a victim. Don't pretend like you are. It's just going to disempower you. It's just going to take all control out of your hands for you to do nothing about it. And you're just going to suffer. So if you want to suffer, by all means, end the podcast here and go play victim as much as you want. Otherwise, keep listening. Don't play the victim. Don't think someone can make you feel any particular way. You're the only one who can control your feelings, your emotions. And that means you got to own them. Hey, so when this happened, when you said my mustache looked funky, I really felt sad. I really felt whatever the emotion that might be coming up for you that's present. Because is the third step here. So when, feeling, because. When X happened, I felt blank. Because, why? Explain. You know, because, you know, I've worked really hard on growing this mustache and it means a lot to me. You know, it's important in my friendship groups that we don't, you know, rag on each other's physical appearance, whatever it might be. Give the because, the reason you felt the way that you did based on that communication. And then the fourth step is the request. So therefore, going forward, I request that XYZ. So when blank happened, I felt blank because of blank. So going forward, my request is blank. It's a fairly simple framework that will get you very far. Again, it doesn't fix the problem because you can't control other people and their emotions, but it gets you further than not using that framework. So get your daily rep in, whether it's the nonviolent communication framework or another, just saying the thing on your mind. Say, hey, you know, you asked me about my honest opinion and I wasn't as truthful. I think your mustache has some potential. And honestly, I think your mustaches can have a really good value to them. And I think you're a really handsome person. My concern is the Cheetos that you keep, the Cheeto crumbs you keep in there. Just, I'm concerned that they're going to repel people that you want in your life away. Or, you know, I'm afraid you might get some like gross bacteria growing in your, sorry, no one wanted to hear that, but whatever it might be, you know, say it in such a way where it's truthful, pleasing, and still beneficial. And explaining in a non-violent communication format or very similar that's going to get your point across. And so you write it down. You can even say it to yourself, say it out loud, say it in a mirror, and then practice saying it out loud to someone else. You can do it in written form, at least as you're getting the reps in, but this is better to actually say, to communicate, either ideally face-to-face, over a Zoom call, over a phone call, whatever the case might be. And then number three is what I call like a somatic check-in. What that means is start to figure out where in your body, first and foremost, you notice yourself tensing up, or what feelings are ultimately coming up and where in the body. Because what this is like, think of this as data points. What we're trying to do here is we're saying, okay, here's who I want to be with my identity. Here's how I can communicate in a way that's actually going to get me the result I want, in a way that's still going to help and serve this person, get my point across. And then ultimately, like, what's going on in my mind and my body that's making me either lean towards passivity or towards aggressive communication style? Like, what's going on? And so do a somatic check-in. What that means is just sit with it if you can, aside from others and in your own space, sit there and you can close your eyes, take some deep breaths, shake it off, and notice like, where in your body are you feeling this discomfort and what feelings are coming present for you? And you might feel like, oh, am I feeling my stomach? I feel it in my shoulders. I feel it in my brow. There's no right or wrong. Just acknowledging it. Like, where am I feeling it? And then from there, start to use that as a data point to get clear on what's going on inside your mind and body. An example might be, you notice that, all right, this person said, I have an ugly mustache. And you go through the practice of communicating how that made you feel about it to try to get to the bottom of it. And then noticing when that person says that, like, what feelings come up for me? Oh, I feel like I'm worthless. I feel like I'm unlovable. I feel trapped. I feel unsupported. And I feel insecure. I feel whatever the feeling might be, identifying it. Because what that is, again, it becomes a data point for me to say, okay, what's going on here? Interesting. When most of the triggers I feel, most of the times that I'm noticing myself being having a negative experience, it almost always comes down to this core negative experience or emotion or feeling. Great. That's a beautiful data point for us to figure out what we want to do with. There's various exercises that we give. You may have already heard me give them. If not, check out episodes around this with understanding core wounds, core beliefs, core fears, and starting to overcome them. But the very simple version of that is, once you start to understand where those core fears are, then we can work on them. We can work on managing, maybe healing them. I don't mind this idea of we can fix them and have them gone. I don't mind that terminology, but regardless of if it's true that you can fix or perfectly heal something or not, which is one, we could have a discussion about that. One can make a good argument against that. I don't care if you can or can't fix it. I just care about managing it. We can learn, hey, listen, this is a sensitivity for me. I have this core fear around fill in the blank, and therefore I can manage it. I can avoid things that stimulate that, and I can have a plan of how to get myself back into center when I get stimulated by that, when that thing comes up, and then it throws me outside of my core self because of my unresolved emotional experience with it. What can I do to snap myself out of it, come back to center, and actually start to work on it. And in this way, through these practices in a very holistic format, we're not only going to know who we actually are and what type of person we want to be and how we want to communicate, but then from there, we practice it. We do it first. We write it down. We say it out loud to ourselves and then to someone else, and then figure out what's going on in the inner workings, because this is all external. This is the way we're communicating it. But what's going on in the internal aspect? And how do I start to use this experience, these experiences that are coming my way, to really expedite my introspection of self and figure out what's stopping me from being the fullest version of myself? That's ultimately what we want to be doing here. So austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, non-agitating, and in alignment with these ancient literatures that you're studying. The way that we can do that very practically is through those three steps. And the cool thing is you're in control. All you have to do is choose to do that and identify as the person who does this type of work. Because if you don't identify, then on an unconscious level, there's going to be parts of you that might not be identified. No, I'm just an abrasive person. It's just me. Take it or leave. Oh, I'm just a non-confrontational person. Take it or leave it. No, do the self work, not a cop out. You deserve so much more than that. The people around you deserve so much more than that. This, my friends, is not only incredibly helpful practices for me, as I like to call it, a recovering people pleaser, to now borderline aggressive. Wow, Manu, you were quite direct. Yes, it's taken a lot of work. And really practice it in such ways to help and change your life. And in my case, I could tell you it's really made a world of difference. And I hope that these practices, as you start to implement them, will also provide you some semblance of sanity and just relief from all the suffering that these, let's call it the software workings, the way that you're conditioning these unconscious programmings in the mind are just impelling you to act, because frankly, you deserve so much better. If you like practices that go along with this and, you know, templates around that, scripts around that, just join our Conscious Success community at the link in bio, where you can get access to this. So many other resources that can help you live your fullest life. We are so excited to see you on the next episode of the Conscious Success podcast. As always, if there's anything you want to explore, just send us a message. Let us know how we can serve you best. If you haven't already, subscribe. It's one of the only things I'll ever ask of you guys. Subscribe. Leave us a great review or not, whatever review is honest and is from your heart. 5-star review makes a world of a difference to us, because it allows us to keep making content that will hopefully serve and change not only your life, but the lives of everyone else that comes in touch with the Conscious Success podcast. Enjoy, have fun, and let me know how I can serve you. And don't forget, keep it conscious.